What if I told you that in the time it takes to listen to this podcast, almost 695 million people are still living under extreme poverty? It means that 8.5% of the global population still goes to bed hungry. I'm Sisa from KU Leuven, and this is our podcast channel, Breaking Poverty.
Hello, I'm Scott, also from KU Leuven's Sustainable Development Program. Sisa and I will be your guides through today's journey into the United Nations Sustainable Development Goal number one,
No poverty.
No poverty means a complete end of poverty in all its forms everywhere. So let me ask you a question, Sisa. What is poverty and is there a quantified threshold for it?
Yes, there is. According to the UN, the international poverty line is defined as people living on $2 a day or even less, most living in the global south countries. Our team has uncovered some fascinating stories that challenge everything we thought we knew about poverty. Stay tuned to discover how simple innovation is becoming a powerful tool for poverty elevation. Before we dive in, let's break down what we mean by no poverty. Think of it as humanity's most ambitious promise to end poverty in all its forms everywhere by 2030.
And there are actually seven targets within SDG 1. But today we're focusing on three that our team consider as absolute game changers.
That's right. Firstly, target 1.1 is probably the most fundamental, to eradicate extreme poverty.
Just to be clear for our listeners, extreme poverty is only 60% of the poverty threshold, making 800 million people surviving on less than $1.25 a day. That's not just statistics. It means choosing between medicine or food, between sending a child to school or having them work as child labor.
The second target we are exploring is target 1.5, which focuses on building resilience to environmental, economic, and social disasters. It's not just about lifting people out of poverty. It's about ensuring they don't fall back into extreme poverty when disasters strike.
And finally, target 1.7, which perhaps is the most transformative one, creating pro-poor and gender-sensitive policy framework. So before we dive into the three targets, let me explain further why these three were chosen. It is because they are closely linked to social innovation and sustainable development, which provide exponential help in combating poverty.
That's right. Social innovation at its core is about finding new solutions to social problems that are more effective and sustainable than the existing approaches.
And the dimension of sustainability plays an equally vital role. It ensures that, number one, poverty reduction efforts don't harm the environment. Number two, economic growth benefits the poorest. And finally, number three, solutions are long-lasting rather than quick fixes.
And the beautiful thing is how these two approaches work together. Social innovation provides the how, while sustainable development ensures the how long. To better understand the innovative solutions we will discuss today, it's important to consider the poverty cycle. This cycle shows how challenges such as limited access to education, poor healthcare, and lack of economic opportunities reinforce each other and create barriers to escape poverty. So in the next section, we'll introduce you to three different case studies, and each case we examine offers a unique strategy for breaking this cycle. Our guest speakers today are our fellow students who've deeply researched these innovative cases in various countries. Warm welcome to Heidi from China, Jaza from Indonesia, and Pik from Thailand.
Welcome, Heidi, Jaza, and Pik, and thanks for joining our podcast channel, Breaking Poverty. Our first case study takes us into a remarkable story of community resilience from southern Thailand, a place where data tells a powerful story of transformation. The mic is yours, Pik.
Thank you, Scott. Hello, everyone. So let me explain the background. Before the project, the average monthly income for reed craft worker in Telenoi was just $136. Family was struggling, especially after the COVID-19 pandemic that reduced local economic opportunity. Here, context is key. Pathalung province faced about a four-time increase in household poverty during the pandemic. But this wasn't going to be another story of economic defeat. Thaksin University saw something most overlooked: the potential. They identified 40 households with deep generational expertise in reed weaving, a craft passed down through generation but rapidly losing economic viability.
But Pik, what made their approach different?
It is the targeted intervention. The Ministry of Higher Education, Science, Research and Innovation, together with Tuxin University, invested more than $65,000 in comprehensive training. Not just the skills, but a holistic transformation. Design workshop, marketing training, quality control techniques.
That's a very impressive number. And what about the results?
The result is really remarkable. Within just 1 year, average monthly household income increased 36%. More importantly, they created Lenoi Craft, a community enterprise that became a sustainable economic model.
Breaking down the SDG target 1.1 metrics, eradicating extreme poverty means helping people live above $1.90 a day. So how did they measure up in your case, Pick?
Before the project, many households were hovering $4.5 daily. Post-intervention, they are now averaging $6 daily, a substantial leap toward economic stability.
But this wasn't just about money, right?
Exactly. They preserve cultural identity while creating economic opportunity. Most of the participants were women, traditionally the most economically vulnerable in rural Thai communities.
That sounds like we're hearing a purest form of sustainable development.
Definitely. This model provides valuable insight into community-driven poverty alleviation, university expertise, local knowledge, and government support. All this converging to create genuine transformation from red mats to economic resilience. Telenoi shows us that innovation isn't about replacing tradition, but promoting it. It also demonstrates how targeted investment in local expertise and community skill can transform life. However, there are some pitfalls. Firstly, the cultural exploitation risk by commercializing cultural craft may risk commodifying and diluting the cultural heritage if not managed wisely. Secondly, market dependency, where success depends on sustained market demand for the product.
Thank you, Pick, for presenting us this case. It's very interesting. And speaking of resilience, let's explore how this plays out in our next case.
Thank you.
For this next case, we are unpacking a groundbreaking project in Northwest Shanghai, China, that's redefining community resilience. Let's see what Heidi brings out to our collection today. Hello, Heidi.
Hello, Sisa. Hello, everyone. The project is a solar energy park located in Qinghai, northwestern China. It covers an area equal to 48,000 standard football grounds, producing clean energy and boosting the local economy. Before this project, the local herders were having a very tough time making a living due to desertification and poor ecosystem services. The soil was so poor that farming was almost impossible, and people made a living mostly by herding sheep. At first, the community was worried the project would take their land and leave even less room for herding. But thanks to the innovative social approaches, local villagers became stakeholders and actively engaged in this project, and retail business started thriving. Even the sheep got a new job. They are now free within the project area, keeping the wild grasses from blocking the solar panels and reducing welfare risks.
Okay, Heidi, but what about the financial implications?
On top of that, each family earns an extra $10 a day. That's a potential 20 to 25 boost to their household income.
It sounds like a textbook case of breaking poverty and building resilience for vulnerable communities, especially in that desertification area.
Yeah, sure. Traditional renewable energy projects typically marginalize local communities. However, this project creates multiple economic pathways: renewable energy production, agricultural integration, and direct employment. They've combined solar power with herding to build a stronger economic safety net.
Speaking of employment, what kind of opportunities has this created?
New jobs targeted for local communities as solar panel cleaners, canning cooks, and security guards.
So, Heidi, I was curious about the environmental impact of the project itself.
It reduces carbon emissions by about 7.8 million tons per year compared to traditional head plants, which equals to annual emission of 1.7 million cars. It's a good example of sustainable development in action, but I feel like that there's more sustainability than social innovation in it. Some sub-projects are not that transparent, and the compensation for land use is sometimes too low. This shows a need to protect community rights better.
That's a really good point. Another pitfall I notice is the social governance throughout the project, which is less focused compared to the economy. But it is very good try.
Very much agreed. Now with the solar panels being polished and the ship being fed, let's shift our focus to South Asia and the Grameen Bank model in Bangladesh. Welcome, Jaza.
Hi, Scott and Cesar. So to give our audience some context, in Bangladesh, 85% of the population lives in rural areas and over 40% face extreme poverty, and women bear a disproportionate economic burden. This is where the Grameen Bank steps in with a transformative approach to poverty alleviation.
Can you please break down the loan dynamics for us a little bit?
Of course. So basically, loans vary depending on the program, such as basic loans, housing loans, or education loans. And typically, the basic loans start at $100. And here's the revolutionary part. Most of the borrowers are women, and the repayment rate is an impressive 96.29%.
Wow. That's not just statistics. Those are life transformed and hunger relieved.
Exactly right. So, for example, take Amina. She's a borrower from a rural village, and with a $250 loan, she started a poultry business, growing her monthly income from $30 to $120 in just 2 years. So this allowed her to send her children to school and provide essential healthcare.
And how does this connect to SDG Target 1.7, creating policy frameworks for poverty eradication?
So basically, Grameen redefined financial policy by creating an inclusive framework that treats the poor as potential drivers of economic growth, not as high-risk borrowers. You can see that the Grameen Bank doesn't just give out loans like a traditional bank. It's basically built on a group lending model, which is genius. So borrowers form groups of five, fostering trust and collective accountability. And here's another game changer. There's no collateral. That's almost unheard of in traditional banking. So this makes the grid more accessible, especially to women. It's this unique people-centered approach that allows Grameen Bank to achieve such extraordinary results. It's not just banking. It's the social innovation that transforms lives.
This sounds almost unreal. But is this system 100% perfect, Jose?
Of course, it has its own challenge. Critics actually highlight the higher interest rates compared to traditional banks, which can strain borrowers living on less than $1.90 a day. And to address this, the Grameen has initiated efforts to tailor repayment schedules and reduce the risks of over-indebtedness.
So this is a reminder that even innovative models require continuous refinement, right? They need to be transformative.
Exactly, Cesar. So beyond individual economic upliftment, we're seeing systemic change. There is more female economic participation, less domestic violence, and improved child education.
Very impressive. In the end, the Grameen Bank model stands as a testament to the power of trust, innovation, and community. By redefining how we approach poverty alleviation, it's not just changing lives, it's reshaping the entire society.
That's right, Scott. So through this commitment to financial inclusion, empowerment of women, and a holistic approach to development, Grameen Bank shows us that even the smallest loans can ignite massive change.
And as we move forward, let's remember that sustainable poverty eradication requires more than just financial solutions. It requires a revolution in how we think about opportunity and equality.
Absolutely. The Grameen model isn't just a successful story. It's a design for the future, proving that when we invest in people, we invest in progress. Thank you, Jose, and thank you, Hedy and Pick. We've journeyed through three remarkable case studies, each uniquely tackling SDG 1, no poverty, in a thoughtful and impactful way.
From Thailand's reed weavers to China's solar pastures and Bangladesh's microloan revolution, a common thread emerges. Poverty isn't just about money. It's about opportunity, dignity, and systemic transformation. As we've seen, despite their different approaches, each project demonstrates the importance of tailoring solutions to local context and leveraging community participation for long-term success. This reflects the need for sustainable poverty reduction to be adaptable and inclusive.
Thank you, Cesar. And let's recap our key insights today. In Telenoi, we saw how reskilling 40 households increased monthly incomes by 36%. Traditional crafts were transformed into valuable economic assets.
The Daodan Solar Park in Shanghai, China demonstrated how renewable energy can create multiple income streams, 2,000 sheep grazing among solar panels. That's economic and environmental resilience intertwined.
And for our third case study, the Grameen Bank, a financial revolution. Most of the borrowers are women, and with an over 96% loan repayment rate. That's a systematic change through financial inclusion. The three different approaches all leading to one shared goal, empowering community to break the poverty cycle.
So what connects these stories?
I would say it's local knowledge, community participation, and innovative thinking that seems potential where others see limitations.
From reed mats to solar panels, from microloans to community enterprises, our key takeaway today is this. SDG 1 isn't about charity. It's about creating synergies of opportunity and fostering an in-depth understanding of human-nature relationship. Sustainable development respects local context, transforms economic structures, and builds community resilience. Poverty ends not with handouts, but with hand-ups.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been an honor to share our thoughts and global case studies on SDG 1 with you today. We appreciate your time, and we'd love to hear from your own experience or ideas for tackling poverty sustainably. Thank you, everyone.
See you next time.
See you.